Imagine we are out on the Appalachian Trail together. We have been climbing up Siler's Bald. And as we get to the top, the top of the ridge, if you will, we can look back and think about the steps that we took leading up to that ridge. We dodged this rock and we went this way and all that. Well, that was this past year or even farther back. As we look down the slope from the ridge on ahead, we look forward into 2018. We can see a little bit, but we can't see very far. So we're going to be standing on the ridge this morning. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 21, and I'll tell you the rest of the backstory here as we read. Then Naomi said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So as you stand on the ridge, be honest with the brokenness in your life. Face things head on. All the things that we need to face, all the things that we need to look at, have led us to this ridge. The backstory of the passage is that a family had experienced hard times. Famine had struck the land of Judah. No rain, no food. So they went from the west side of the Dead Sea over to Moab, which is on the eastern side. They had gone out of their country into a foreign country. Naomi and her husband Elimelech and her two sons go. Well, they're there long enough that the sons grow up, finish growing up maybe is a better way to say it. And they marry two Moabite women. Well, tragedy strikes even harder. All the men of the family pass away, Elimelech and the two sons. And saying, by this point, Naomi has heard that things are better back home, back in Judah, back toward around Bethlehem. So they pack up, whatever that means, and they get ready to go. And the daughters-in-law are with them, and Naomi says, "There's no point in you going back with me. Even if I were to have another husband now and have another son now, would you wait 18, 20 years? No, you just stay. You go back home to your family, back to your house." And the other daughter-in-law does, but not Ruth. Ruth says what we say at weddings, "Where you go, I will go." Look back at verse 8 for a minute. We didn't read it, but look back at verse 8. "And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me.'" That word kindly. She has blessed these two, telling them it is all right to go back home to their family. And she says, "May the Lord deal kindly with you." That word kindly is a strong relational term that entails all the positive attributes of God. His love, His mercy, His grace, His kindness, His goodness, His benevolence, His loyalty, and His covenant faithfulness. And so that's what has motivated Naomi to do what she did for the daughters-in-law. It's okay. Go back. It's okay. I'll be all right. Go back. So they go back. Only Ruth goes with Naomi. When they get back, all of Bethlehem was abuzz. It says the town was stirring. Well, you know how the grapevine works, quickly and efficiently. So everybody knows that Naomi is back, and there's this other woman with her, this younger woman with her. And her response to the people revealed the depth of her brokenness and her honesty. Do not call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, but I've come back empty. My encouragement to you is be honest with the brokenness in your life. Here's the definition. Do you know what the word is? A false, superficial, or artificial appearance or effect. The word is facade. Are you honest with yourself, or are you hiding behind a facade? How many times just today have you lied? How are you? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. How was Christmas? Oh, it's great. Well, maybe that wasn't a lie. But Naomi was honest with herself and with others. My encouragement to you is to face your brokenness head on. It is hard to tell ourselves the truth about ourselves. And sometimes it's hard to tell ourselves the truth about those close to us. I hope you understood me during the Christmas Eve service. We had a couple kids that were getting a little excited. One wanted to go exploring. Let me tell you, I was that way, and my kids were that way, and so were you. We are broken creatures. Our sin nature is there. Part of our problem, or part of the situation is that we live in a sinful, fallen world where disease and tragedy strike. When Eve was deceived and Adam chose to go against God, all of creation was touched by their sin. And so then our sin nature rears its head early and often in our lives. And then there are consequences to our choices. Well, I didn't mean for that to happen. Well, you can choose your sin, but the best way to deal with brokenness, the best way to deal with brokenness is to run toward God, toward His attributes, and the way He deals with us, not away. My challenge, my encouragement to you this morning is to run toward God. And may He deal kindly with you. Face whatever is unpleasant in your life, whether that is the sin and the struggles in your own life or the hardness of living in a sinful, fallen world where people get sick and die. One of the things that I was encouraged to do in seminary was to write down every wedding and every funeral I did as a pastor. I didn't do that about the weddings. I've done that about the funerals more than I care to count. Because that's the kind of world we live in. We live in a sinful, fallen world. Another way to deal with brokenness is to be around other people who are seeking after the Lord, running toward Him. So as we stand on the ridge, we're about to pass from one year into the next. And there's something about our human minds that's like a new thing, isn't it? You know what's going to happen tomorrow? The sun will come up. If not, does it matter? Another thing that's going to happen tomorrow is that the sun will go down. But there's something about saying it's a new year. And I'm not asking you or challenging you to make resolutions, because you'll break them before you get out of here or the first chance you get. My challenge, my encouragement to you is to run toward Jesus Christ. Now we look forward. Standing on the ridge, being honest with you, with and about yourself, trusting God to take care of your needs today. Let's read some more. Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. There's a new player in here. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. And how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord. The God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservants, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Do not panic. If you're standing at the top of the ridge, you can see down a little ways. You may think you know what this week holds, and it may be exactly that, or it may be something else. Do not panic. Do the next right thing. Naomi and Ruth did have a problem even after returning to Bethlehem. There was no social safety net. There was no food stamps, no WIC, no Social Security. There was nothing. But it was barley harvest time. Do you think it was a coincidence that the Lord had said to Naomi when they were in Moab, "It's time to go home"? So they get back. Ruth understood that if she was going to eat in a week's time or if she was going to eat today, she was going to have to do something about it. And the way that the society was set up was, if you owned a field, you maybe didn't harvest into the corn, or as you gathered the grain would invariably, some of it would fall out. And so the people who didn't own the field would come and gather that. And so that's what Ruth decided to do. "I'm going to go to the fields to glean grain." And she just happened, providentially directed, I would suggest to you, to the fields of this kinsman redeemer, Boaz. And so Boaz begins to take care of her and Naomi. He invites Ruth to stay in his fields, and he goes over to his workers and says, "Leave a little extra. Leave a little extra." And so then they, at the end of the day, they come in and they're going to eat, and Boaz makes sure that Ruth has some then, and he gives her enough to take home to Naomi. "Oh, and if you get thirsty, come and drink out of our water jugs. Don't worry about gathering your own." Well, it wasn't very long until what may have started as a matter of duty seems to blossom into romance. A couple days pass. Ruth is there gleaning in the field. And Naomi and Ruth conspire, get a little coaching from Naomi. Ruth did. "Here, go do this." And she does, and she uncovers his feet at the end of the day, and he's asleep, and all of a sudden he realizes that his feet are uncovered, and he says, "Who is it?" "And it's me, Ruth," she said. And what she was saying to him was, is we need you to act. We need you to act. And he does. The next morning, it seems, at least the way it's written, Boaz gets up and searches out the one who was the closer kinsman redeemer. And that man didn't want to buy the field because he didn't want to marry Ruth. And Boaz says, doggone, that's a shame. I will. I will do that. And so he buys the land, redeeming it, and he acquires Ruth as his wife. And God took care of their needs. The story is told of the early days of Dallas Theological Seminary, that the seminary was about to close because they were about to fold financially. Now, if you don't know Texas geography, Dallas is just east of Fort Worth by about 30 miles. And Fort Worth is where all the cattlemen came because that's where the rail lines ended. And they would come to Fort Worth to sell their cattle. Well, the president of the seminary gathers all the faculty, and that was like three or four men, to his office to pray one day. And one of the men praying was quoted Psalm 50. Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Would you sell some and send us the money? Well, before the men got through praying, as the story goes, a rancher shows up in the outer office, and the secretary says to him, how can I help you? And the man says, I don't know really why I'm here, but I've been to Fort Worth to sell my herd of cattle, and something just told me to come bring you this money. You say, oh, that's just a story. I can tell you stories because I saw them. Because the Lord can take care of our needs in ways that we cannot begin to imagine. If we will pursue Him and seek after Him. Now, I do not know what 2018 will hold for me or for you. But I do know who holds 2018. I don't know what will break or wear out. I don't know who will get sick or with what. I don't know how the stock market will perform or what the price of oil will be. But I do know who holds and holds the future of all of us. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I intend for us to be faithful in giving. I intend for us to be faithful in loving. I intend for us to be faithful in obeying. Part of the brokenness that I have seen in myself is a materialistic hand-wringing that is completely wrong. Why am I worried about next week or next year or 15 or 20 years from now? Because the Lord has shown for, well, I'm not going to tell you my age, but He has shown for 57 years that I have got you, Robert. So why do I do this? It's the brokenness. And every one of us is wringing our hands about something if we're not seeking after the Lord. The Lord has provided and the Lord will provide. He will take care of every today He gives. We stand on the ridge. And standing on the ridge, being honest with and about ourselves, trusting in God to take care of you today, trust Him to take care of eternity. We are to live in eternal security. Let's read some more. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive. And she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. And may His name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, here's some of the best reading in all of the Old Testament. It is. Now, these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram, Amminadab. And to Amminadab was born Nahshon, and to Nahshon, Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz, Obed. And to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse, David. And if you'll go to Matthew chapter 1, don't turn there, but if you'll go there, you see some of this very same reading. Because in that lineage is the lineage of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What was interesting in the process of with Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, it seems the neighbor women were involved in the naming of the child. And they named the child Obed, which means a servant, one who would serve Naomi, because he was going to be her redeemer. Again, no social safety net. And Obed would end up, as Boaz was, in the lineage of Jesus, and he was taking care of eternity. Do you suppose Naomi and Ruth, Boaz, any of those people involved would have begun to understand what God was going to do in and through their lives? Not a chance in this world. But he did. He did. God was working to take care of eternity. And I think this is something of what led Edward Mote to write as the chorus to the hymn, The Solid Rock. He said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." For today and for eternity, only Christ is the solid rock. Are you trusting Christ to work things out in your story and his story for your good and his glory? It was interesting to me looking at the comic strips this morning how negative the comic strips were about 2017. And guess what? They'll be that way in 2018 at the end. Let me tell you, if all you were trusting in was selling newspapers, but if you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're trusting in Him to have control of eternity, if you're trusting in Him to take care of your needs today and every other day that He gives you, this is a great day. Because we're going to get to see another opportunity of what the Lord's going to do. Here's what I think 2018 will hold. We will see people come to know Christ. We will see people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will see His kingdom grow and expand. The question is will you be a part? Will you live your life today for His glory? I struggled a minute ago. I will admit to you that I cannot read the book of Ruth without tears coming to my eyes. Because it is a story a whole lot like mine. And a whole lot like yours, at least the first part. Tragedy after tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And you say, "Lord." And He is working to redeem and to save. He is working to take care of us. To see how God works, to see how He works through and around tragedy, is more than heartwarming. It is heart assuring. Is your heart assured this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is for you? He is, because he wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to come and play church. He wants for you to know Him as your Lord and Savior. There are things happening in this world that I don't understand, that I don't know about, that I don't understand. I don't see how any good can come out of some of it, but I trust that the Lord does. All of it. Knows about it, can make good come out of it. And I'm trusting that He has this new year in His hand.